In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
So back in early February, an interviewer with a camera crew went out into the streets of this certain large city. Coronavirus was just barely making news at the time. So you have to get your mind back when we really had no radar for how big this pandemic was going to get. So this interviewer asked people passing by some general questions first: age, sex, race, education level, religion, and then Republican or Democrat. And then they gave them the statement, "We need to prohibit international travel to reduce the spread of the virus. Do you agree or disagree?" Now the whole thing was a setup. They weren't actually interested in the person's answer per se, or their education, or their religion. You see, for the first 2 hours, all they did was give the statement, "We need to prohibit international travel to reduce the spread of the virus. Agree or disagree?" Now again, this was early February. Now about 80% across the board said disagree. There's no need, when that statement was presented to them. After 2 hours of interviewing people, the interviewer changed the statement slightly. He now said, "Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi says we need to prohibit international travel to reduce the spread of the virus. Agree or disagree?" And I bet you can guess what happened to the answers. All of a sudden, over 90% of self-described Democrats were suddenly agreeing instead of disagreeing, and the number of Republicans disagreeing jumped from 80 to nearly 100%, just like that. Of course, after 2 hours of that, he changed it again to, "President Donald Trump says we need to prohibit international travel to reduce the spread of the virus. Agree or disagree?" And I bet you can guess what happened then. Just like magic, the numbers flip-flopped the other way. Suddenly, 90% of Republicans were now agreeing, and nearly 100% of Democrats were disagreeing. So what does this reveal about human nature? When a statement stands by itself, people will judge it for its own merits. You just look at the statement and you think, with your own experience and in your own judgment, whether you agree or disagree. But when a person is attached to the statement, especially a controversial or polarizing person, we humans have a strong tendency to pay more attention to the person who's delivering it than to the statement itself. If the person is disliked enough, we sometimes won't pay attention to the statement at all. We just write it off as nonsense. Now, it's one thing to take into account an acquaintance, for example, who we know lies all the time versus someone who tells the truth all the time. But we do it based on criteria far more dubious and far more emotional all the time. Our criteria as human beings tends to be, do I like them? Do I approve of their tastes, their lifestyle, their religion, their politics, their race, their sex, their clothes, their appearance? Fill in the blank. You name it, we accept or write off statements based on those things. Now think of how many times we may have missed something helpful or beautiful or profound or simply true because we didn't like or approve of the person saying it. How often do you read or say something and someone comes back with, "Yeah, but do you know who said that?" As if that tidbit discounts the entire statement. The proper answer to the comment, "Yeah, but do you know who said that?" The proper answer is for you to say, "I don't care who said it. I only care if it's true and profound and beautiful." Jesus once called Pharisees a brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs. And the next breath, he said, "But do what they say, because their words are true." Jesus separated who was saying it from whether or not the words were true. And at least officially, we Orthodox are quite comfortable with that concept. I mean, I can't count how many times I've heard Origen or Evagrius quoted in a sermon or essay by an Orthodox theologian. And in fact, Bishop Paul quoted from Origen in his sermon last time he was here. But both Origen and Evagrius are condemned heretics in the history of the church. But much of what they wrote is still true, and we have no problem quoting the true parts. So back to, yeah, but you don't know who said that. Today we celebrate in the church Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman at the well. She meets Jesus, and through their conversation, she comes to believe and to know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So Fotini goes back to Sychar, the village, and starts telling everyone who will listen that she has found the Messiah. And here's the big question. Do they listen? Are they willing to hear her message? You see, Fotini is not exactly what you'd call an upstanding citizen, right? Married 5 times. Now she's living with a guy she's not even married to. She goes to the well alone and gets into conversations with men. You can imagine the word spreading through the village. I heard the Messiah is at the well. Yeah, but do you know who said that? Fotini. A name spoken with a wrinkled nose, you know. So then you have a choice. Do you dismiss the message because you don't approve of Fotini's lifestyle? Or do you say, I don't care who said it. I only care if it's true. Now, how many times have we missed the voice of God in our lives because the person God chose to speak through at that moment was a person who didn't meet our approval? Now, these villagers, they chose the right answer. It says the villagers came out to Jesus and many believed in him. Now, Jesus says something interesting about those villagers. As they're making their way out to the well to see Jesus, he turns to his disciples and points to them, and he says, you see, lift up your eyes and look. Here's a field ready for harvest. I mean, he's referring to the people. He's saying, look at the people. This is a field ready for harvest. What made these villagers worthy of such a compliment by Jesus himself? It's because they didn't let their disapproval of Fotini get in the way of really hearing the message. That made them ready for harvest in the eyes of the Lord. Now contrast my opening story, how the reaction changed when the sentence went from simply, we need to prohibit international travel to reduce the spread of the virus, to Pelosi says we need to prohibit, or Trump says we need to prohibit. The reaction changes almost completely, almost 180 degrees, depending on the person's political leanings. Here in the gospel, the statement goes from the Messiah is at the well to our lovely Fotini says the Messiah is at the well. And that could have been the end of it if these people weren't ready. But for many, many of the Samaritans, their disapproval of the messenger didn't stop them from hearing the message. And the lesson we need to take from this is that God speaks through all kinds of people. He speaks through male and female, old and young, healthy and sick, quiet and loud, moral and immoral, saint and heretic, black, white, brown, red, green, yellow, orange, and purple. People you approve of and people you don't. God speaks through all of them. And you don't want to miss the voice of God simply because you don't approve his messenger. So the next time you say or read or post a statement and someone comes back with, yeah, but do you know who said that? Respond with, I really don't care who said it. I only care if it's helpful, beautiful, profound, and true. Amen. Christ is risen.